Okay, good evening. I'd like to call the Wednesday, February 6, 2019 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Russom?
Here.
Thank you. Would you all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda review. Is there anyone want to change anything or move anything on the agenda?
Nope. Good.
All right. Then we'll move on to public comment for items not appearing on the agenda this evening.
Thank you, board members. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to speak this evening about Central Coast Blue. Some of you may know that the Regional Water Quality Control Board had a briefing on Central Coast Blue this last Friday, and then there was a follow-up site tour at the Pismo Beach Wastewater Facility. And if your board recalls, you helped fund an EIR that we learned at the meeting, they haven't even started it yet. They haven't even scoped it. And I think it was about June of 2017 that you actually gave them $125,000. And I think 2 years later, they may not even have the scoping completed, which is unfortunate. The other premise, one of the premises of the Central Coast Blue is that it's been done in Orange County. And it's been proven to be successful there in terms of seawater intrusion and so forth. Well, a couple differences. Orange County actually had seawater intrusion. You don't, and more on that later. And they also have millions of ratepayers. In this district, you have thousands, and even in the region, the NCMA region. So it's kind of misplaced in terms of its foundation. I mentioned seawater intrusion, and indeed, Ben Fine, the Public Works Director of Pismo Beach, he must have mentioned seawater intrusion in Oceano 10 times. And I'd like to submit, I will when I complete my remarks, this is a letter and support documentation from the Oceano Community Services District back in 2012 that dispels any of those characterizations relative to seawater intrusion. Mr. Fine, frankly, struggled with the facts in many regards, including the question of site selection and the idea of an alternative site other than the sanitation district site. And in that regard, Mr. Fine said that the city of Pismo Beach had hired a property search firm, which I found interesting, and they were running into trouble because the cannabis folks had outbid them on all the good properties. And I found that to be quite a stretch. The fact is, Central Coast Blue is a marketing program first. That's what it is. And the project implications, including the cost, that's going to come much later, unfortunately. So, in my opinion, Central Coast Blue is dead on arrival, and I would urge your board to distance yourself from that project. Thank you.
Any other comment?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and tonight I would like to also speak to the Central Coast Blue project in that it is a water supply project, and your district's one and only charge is wastewater. This district contributed, as it was $127,500 in June of 2017 towards an environmental impact report for the project, and it is alarming that the project has not, the EIR has not seen the notice of preparation, and that it's still months away. When your board approved that expenditure, they were told that the EIR would come the following December. That was two Decembers ago. This district also contributed through your $1.1 million fine and that payment, $121,000 towards modeling the groundwater basin. Again, water supply. Both Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande just this last month have begun the process to increase rates for water and sewer services at both those cities. Pismo Beach identifies their portion of the Central Coast Blue project as just 20% of the project. I do not know how much each of the communities will benefit from the project and how much you'll pay for it. How much will you bear? How much will your ratepayers bear in the cost of the project? What I am most concerned about is how much time your district, this sanitation district, is spending on it. Mr. Fine gave a presentation in May of last year to the Oceano Community Services District, and when he was asked about the siting on the sanitation district site, because it doesn't make a lot of sense with the confluence of two creeks and the threat of sea level rise and tsunami runup, that you would site such an expensive project at that site that is so compromised. And when asked about locating it there, he said it was the preferred alternative, but he also said that the 10-year permit that the district had, let me phrase it like this, Coastal Commission was willing to give a 10-year temporary permit for the redundancy project on the same site. Mr. Fine took credit for extending that temporary permit to 30 years because Coastal was aware of their project. That wasn't logical in that, again, each project should be measured on its own merit. But in my mind, Pismo Beach is using the district. It's using Oceano. It's using Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach for their project. This is their project and not yours.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is there any other public comment? All right. Seeing none, then we'll move on to our consent agenda. The 5A and 5B, approval of warrants and approval of the meeting minutes, January 2nd, 2019. Anyone have anything to... Okay. We get any public comment on the consent agenda?
Julie Tacker again, and I'd like to speak to your warrant register. My concern is with regard to your legal bills. We have ticked back up to the $10,000 range between your two councils. And the continuing expenditures with Kennedy Jenks, again, as Jeff mentioned, the Water Board had a discussion this last week, and your redundancy project came up as part of your NPDES permit. And the wisdom of siting the redundancy project at this location, the wisdom of siting the Central Coast Blue project at this location are questioned. Those are questioned. So you continue to have expenses moving towards the redundancy project, and I would like your board to take a pause and question whether this makes sense, because the price is approaching $30 million. And is likely to come in at a higher price once the bids are let.
Anyone else on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we will... Can I get a motion to...
Make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Agenda.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Move on to our action items. Election of the calendar year board officers. I think we'll do nominations first and then have public comment. So can we get a nomination for chair for this next year?
Seems how none of us have talked about this.
Somebody
it makes no
make?
Difference to me which one of us might take over. I would like Arroyo Grande around in the mix because we haven't had it for a while, but I can certainly, it doesn't have to be now, so just kind of understanding where we might go. If we were to nominate Director Lee, I would hope that Arroyo Grande could take vice and rotate in next time. I realize we can't make that decision tonight, but that would be my intent.
Okay, so you're nominating Director Lee?
I guess that's discussion.
For chair?
I'd be willing to take on the chair and have Arroyo Grande as the vice chair.
I'll second the motion. Okay, so before we vote, I will ask for a public comment.
Julie Tacker, I support the motion in that Mr. Lee is an engineer, and I think the district is going into a critical position with redundancy this year, and it makes sense that he is the chair at this time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion and a second. So all in favor for Director Lee as chair and Director Rissom as vice chair?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. So that carries 3-0. So congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So with that, do we change roles now?
I think it goes at the next meeting, right?
Is it the next meeting?
Are we doing it right now?
Let's do it right now.
All right.
Just assumed. We've already...
Good evening, Madam Chair and board members. This issue will be discussed in the bylaw updates, but because of the timing and the cancellation of last meeting, I think it's appropriate if now that you have a chair and vice chair, and if you're willing to serve tonight, to change seats now.
Okay.
All right. That works. Or we can.
We'll just change with you.
As you can say, or we just,
I'll just
stay here and we'll change nameplates.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. You can sit. Okay, so
thanks. Very good. So I guess I'll call this meeting back to order. Do we need to do another roll call? Or is it just understood? Okay. It's just understood. Then we'll move on to item 6B, which is the mid-fiscal year 2018-19 financial review. So District Administrator Gent.
Good evening, Chair Lee. Congratulations. This item is to receive and file the second quarter budget performance review, and I will turn it over to Amy Simpson, our bookkeeper, to present the findings in the review.
Good evening. This is the fiscal year 2018-2019 mid-year second quarter budget performance review. I'm happy to report that the district has received 45% of its budgeted revenue. The reason it is a little short of the 50% benchmark is the City of Gover Beach has a new accounting system, and they have not provided the reports to let us know what the revenues were. We have spent 35% of our budgeted expenditures, and that was total. We expected to spend $6,448,720, and we have expensed $2,229,772 as of December 31st. And then there is a third that shows the balances of our accounts. It shows that our treasury account has $3,696,889. Our cash and Rabobank is $174,603. And our cash in the LAIF, which is our investment account, is $2,489,180. for total cash of $6,360,673. The report goes on to tell us that some accounts have been paid in full. That's why they are closer to the 100% mark. The accounts that we are continuing to monitor are the unemployment reimbursement account, and this is state disability. The auditing is at 97.4%. That is because we only budgeted for the 16-17 fiscal audit, and we have just completed the 17-18 budget as well. We're not recommending a budget adjustment at this time because this was unusual to do two audits in one budget. And the last is the gas, which is at 88.9%. And this is a reflection of the boiler running on natural gas instead of digester gas. And staff is continuing to monitor this account. And the plant chemicals are 69.1%. And we are continuing to monitor that account. Conclusion, overall, the district expenditures remained below the adopted fiscal year 2018-2019 budgeted amounts. As per good fiscal and budget practices, staff continues to monitor costs versus budgeted amounts while providing the district and its ratepayers the best cost, benefit, and investment of district funds. Attached to this report are all the accounts, the expense, the budgeted amount, it tells you if we're over or under, and the percent of the budget that we're at. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
No, that's a very good report. Thank you.
All right, forgive me, Amy. I have a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
So, first of all, thank you. On the analysis, it only analyzed account number 19, so it didn't do the other two. So I have a few questions about 19 and then several about 20 and 26. So my first question is, actually came out of your staff report. For item 6 on page 3, where you're talking about the unemployment reimbursement, I'm not clear. I thought I just heard you say it was disability, but it says here unemployment. So I'm not understanding specifically why this is ticked up so high. Unemployment or disability, I think, are different things.
They are. They go through our accounting system as one is California disability insurance, and it covers unemployment, disability, all types of leave. It's just all grouped in one account for our QuickBooks. It was due to two employees did receive unemployment, and we pay into it after the fact, so we're playing catch up.
Okay, got it. That was the second part of my question. And then for number 7, with the two audits, I guess I have a question about the 17-18 audit being in the 18-19 budget. Is there a corresponding amount of money that was budgeted in 17-18 that was unspent?
17-18.
Director Ruzum, yeah, so I'll jump in on that. So when I took over the district in July of 02, we were three audits behind because of some of the turnover. And to answer your specific question of whether it was budgeted last year, I would assume that yes, so there would have been budget carried forward for one audit for each year. And in this year, when we started, the budget was prepared and adopted in June prior to me starting. And there was just budget for a single audit to be done in the calendar year, this calendar year, 18-19, which is the one we're reporting on right now. And so during calendar year 18-19, we complete our 17-18 audit.
Right. So my question is, why are there not two in there when we knew we were going to be doing two?
I can't. It's an oversight on staff, as near as I can tell, when the budget was prepared.
Okay. And then on number 8, where this is just my ignorance, so this is probably no error whatsoever, but on number 8 it talks about running on natural gas instead of digester gas. Can you just expand on that a little bit so that I can get up to speed?
Yeah, so Earlier in the year, did I go off? Sorry. Earlier in the year, we had a major rehab of our digester number one. And our digester produces methane gas as part of the digestion process of the waste. And during that time, when that digester was shut down, we were not producing digester gas to run the boiler. And that was the initial reason that the costs have come on. Now that we've brought the project is complete, and just to completely answer the question, we are producing digester gas, but we have not been able to restore the quality of the gas for whatever reason right now is still giving us problems. And we have, even though we're producing gas, we have not been able to convert back over to running our boiler on digester gas, and staff is troubleshooting that right now.
So with that answer then, where it says just staff will continue to monitor, I'm unclear on what that means. So do we need to do a mid-year budget adjustment since we still have an ongoing overage that's going to continue?
So this overage would occur. In the past, the district has allowed these accounts to run over budget and then do a budget adjustment at the final or at the third quarter once they've gone over the budget. Amy and I did discuss, should we bring a budget adjustment forward at the mid-year right now, and I was informed that that was not the usual practice for the district to do that, and so we brought it forward with just a large expenditure up higher than 50% expenditure, and we'll, to continue to monitor is we will bring that back in the third quarter. If we go over 100%, we would ask for that authorization at that time because we've exceeded that expense.
I have a little bit of concern about that because in terms of budget planning, if you're not making any adjustments until 75% of the way through the year, I'm not sure that's fiscally prudent to do that. So I even if it's past practice, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to do budget. I mean, the reason we do mid-year budget adjustments is so that we can monitor things going forward. So it seems to me like this would be the right time to do that.
Correct. So, yeah, and just to be clear to you and the public, the Fund 19 as a whole is not going over, and I think that was the past practice. The budget in that account is still well below, and that's why those sub-accounts have been allowed to go over, because as the whole account, we've not exceeded that expenditure. But yes, absolutely. If we want to get into that practice, I'm a proponent of that, and we can switch to that, to bringing forward as we see these type of increases, which is similar to what I worked on when I worked at the county. That would be the practice. When we would realize that we were going to exceed a budget, we would go at that point and ask for further authorization on the budget.
And most certainly at the mid-year budget review.
The mid-year or even quarterly.
Or first quarter. Yeah. Right. I suppose I need to – we'll save that for comments. Right. So I'll make myself a note in a moment. Going on to the attachments, I just have some questions about some of the income and expenses. So you – highlighted a few about why they were low or why they weren't low, but a couple of them were, to me, what looks like here, disturbingly low, and I'm sure there's an explanation. I just don't know the background. So on line item 194045, that's school services, that's at 13%. Can you explain that one?
School services is collected in July.
Got it. Okay.
So that one stays low, unfortunately.
Thank you. And then the next one, brine disposal, it's only at 23%.
We have had a lot less brine deliveries this year.
So that might need an adjustment as well.
So that's on the revenue side. We're
right.
Seeing revenue come in lower than we budgeted based off last year's revenues, so that's what we anticipated. So, yes, we would have to adjust that down.
And that's very concerning to me because if we assume that we're going to make the same amount on the back end of the year, then we're only going to take in less than half what we budgeted for, and we need an adjustment there.
Correct.
So I guess I'm asking, why aren't we doing that? Or maybe we are when I say we are. I don't know. Wait, and get another vote.
I mean, I think that these points are all well taken, and I think this is time to maybe make a financial change to the practice, and we'll account for it in a different way, and maybe bring the item back.
Okay, that sounds good. And I have. Sorry, but I have a
fine
one.
No, this is fine.
For the line 197043, insurance, liability, and auto, why are we at 100% halfway through the year? Did we just pay that premium and
that's
it's done?
That's a lump sum.
Okay, got it. And then attorney's fees. What I'm seeing here for 7070 and 7071, the attorney fee, and I assume that's outside counsel, it looks like we're significantly under budget on attorney's fees, which makes me very happy. And I'm asking in terms of pacing, and maybe this puts Gil on the hot seat here, but does this mean that we can anticipate that, assuming nothing goes haywire in the next 6 months, that we're roughly going to spend $26,000, not $36,000, based on this year's performance? Which is a good thing.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I think that the new district administrator is doing an excellent job of keeping costs in check and making sure that legal services are used as necessary, but also not overused, and I think that's to his credit. So I think you can continue to anticipate fees to be down absent any new litigation or something that is unexpected.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you, Director Gent. And then 7077, professional engineering, that's significantly, I mean, it's not even anywhere. Maybe there's something coming that I'm unaware of.
Well, I don't want to take credit for it, but there was certainly anticipated that the previous administration would need additional engineering support just for general oversight. I myself, being a professional engineer in the state of California, I've assumed a lot of those duties, have done plan checks, have reviewed plan drawings, and worked in that capacity with my extra time at the district. So I think that's in large part the explanation. But there are some charges that will be coming forward for the professional engineering services as we move in more into redundancy. We're going to be moving in, but that's budgeted in redundancy. But that's going to be probably in the next 2 months. You'll see some professional engineering services contracts come forward.
Thank you, and thank you. So let's see if we can go Director Gent for the hat trick. 19-80-30 on the next page is equipment maintenance, coming in roughly 17%-ish. I am happy that we maybe aren't spending $200,000 on maintenance, but why is that one look so low, and can Mr. Administrator Gent take his credit on that one as well?
He's a maintenance mechanic.
I know, right? Sorry, I keep saying director. I should be saying administrator.
Office is out of 119.
Mm-hmm. We've started a lot of this, but just have not received the invoices.
So I don't know if I'll be able to take credit for the hat trick. Looking through the list, we've got an expanded list here of the items that are in that maintenance, and Amy and I, looking through them, a lot of that has been started and not been invoiced yet, the work and the maintenance. So I would expect those charges to start hitting soon, but most of that work, it's stuff like forklift maintenance, flare maintenance, maintenance on the front end loader, those type of things. And the maintenance on the front end loader, we've actually budgeted for a new front end loader in another fund, so we're not doing maintenance on our existing, just minimal maintenance on our existing loader because it's from 1986, so we'll be getting a new one.
And if you say that's old, I'm going to get upset because that's the year I graduated from high school. Okay, then on, I assume this is Fund 20. Well, it is Fund 20. At the top, 204010, Rio Grande Connections are at 296% of budgeted. What happened there?
You put in a new hotel.
Oh, excellent.
And some new development came in.
Perfect. Thank you. And are you ready for this?
Yes.
Lastly, on the 26, Fund 26 replacement for net ordinary income, rather than going through that line by line, we're at 11.6%. Can you explain that one for me?
Net ordinary income. That's a tricky one because 26 does not have a source of revenue. It is funded only by transfers. I would have to work on the QuickBooks the way that it reports because
And I'm just talking, the expense and the income offset. I guess my question is, I'm not asking where the money's coming from. I'm asking
why is
we budgeted so much and we've only spent this little bit. What's the difference?
That's similar to the 80-30 account in 19, that it's a lot of projects that are coming and we're going to have them in the next quarter.
Okay.
A lot of them are on your warrant register tonight.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, thank you so much. That's the end of my questions for that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Certainly, thank you. Thank you for those questions. I will have one comment before I go out to the public, just to ask for public comment, and that is to let the district know that Mr. Jensen and I have spoken today, and I did talk with our city manager. We are resolving, in the process of resolving the revenue coming to the district. Yes, it was a situation where we did change accounting softwares, and for some reason that I don't have a good answer for, it was not transferred to the district, but that we hope to remedy that this week and then continuing forward on infinitum. So,
and if I might say, I believe Amy and your staff had that all worked out,
right.
Director Lee, and so you know, no political need necessary to address the issue. Your staff is fantastic.
Perfect. Great. Thank you for that. I will go ahead and open this up to the public for public comment. So come forward and state your name, please.
Julie Tacker, and I'm going to start with the MOU with PISMO Joint EIR. Both Mr. Edwards and I mentioned it in public comment. The approval was for $127,500. The budget and expense have been...
And not interrupt you, Julie. What line are you looking at?
I'm looking at the page 3, and I'm on...
How is it?
Page 3 of the exhibits, I'm sorry. And it's item 20-7094.
There it is. Thank you very much.
So the expense and budget item are $113,400. This is an expense that I never agreed with, but I am happy to see that it is slightly less expensive. I hope that that's where it stops and that no further charges towards that $127,500 approval are applied. With regard to the brine disposal service revenue, a little backstory, I think I predate coming to these meetings by most of you. The $300,000 budget number really comes from the contract that your district entered into with the community of Cambria. Cambria's brackish water desal project produces an inordinate amount of brine, and they were planning to truck it to your district for disposal, and that pumped up this number, and because that project is, let's just say, compromised, it's not producing anything, not fresh water and not any brine. So that's why your revenues have not experienced that. Even if you had the cost... These are enterprise funds. There's no profit. So whatever it costs to process that brine, there's not really a process. You kind of dump it in a mixing chamber and it goes out to the ocean. But your staff and the overall overhead, it's enterprise. There's no profit. And so whatever you have treated or sent through that mixing chamber, that's all you would receive anyway. So it's not a loss to the district by not meeting that budget line item. The one question I had, it is on page 2 of the narrative in the staff report, the notation that the revenue is 265% associated with the Airport Bridge project and the treatment of the wastewater there, the water. I'd like to know a gallons number. How many gallons did that treatment come to that got us to that number? And then my last point, and I appreciate the extra time. For a long time, your community has been asking for sort of a breakdown on the redundancy project. Rates were increased in 2016 in anticipation of the project, so we wanted to see what the revenue's been and what the expenses have been for that whole time period. It's somewhat broken down on an annual basis, but we'd like to see it all together. Thanks.
Anyone else like to make comment?
Good evening, Ron Arnoldson. I'd just like to say it's nice to see Amy back. She was on the sidelines for quite a while. Gerard Huckner put her out there, and he was such a bozo. I can't believe you guys had him here.
Let's stay on the topic, Ron.
This is the topic.
Okay. I appreciate that, but no disparaging comments towards other people, please.
Why not?
Continue.
Sorry. I would like to comment, Mr. Gent. He's doing a great job. He knows the budget. He's able to ask your questions. Previous people couldn't, and that's nice. I hope that you appreciate him, and I hope you appreciate Amy also.
Anyone else like to come forward and make comments? Seeing no one else come forward, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. So,
you know where I'm going, so how about I go last, because I have a motion to make.
Very good.
So I'd like to hear from everybody else.
I don't have anything.
Okay. So I think I know where you're going, and I have a sense that I will appreciate your comments and figure out where we go.
Well, then, just putting my comments in the form of a motion, I think you see where I'm going. I would very much like to see us change the accounting practice towards a true mid-year budget review with full adjustments as necessary halfway through the year. Being that we're there, I'd like to ask for those adjustments to be made between to come at either, if it's possible, at the next meeting, but the following meeting, whatever works for your schedules internally. And specifically, I'd like to see adjustments to the gas line we talked about, no pun intended, and the expected revenue coming from the Bryan agreements. So. And whatever else is necessary. So I'll leave that to you to figure that out, and without naming a date certain, but hoping at the next opportunity that you can bring that forward.
Is that a motion that you were able to capture?
Well, you kind of left it open to any other accounts that we would like to...
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Just adding in there that my intent, as we discussed, is if we have any glaring errors at first and third quarter, that would be a time to do that as well. But the mid-year would be the big one.
Okay. Very good. So can this be a voice vote, or do we need a roll call? Voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for that. So that brings us to our district administrator and plant operations report. Administrator Gent.
Good evening, Chair Lee. District Administrator Jeremy Gent. Happy to give you an update on, I've got a couple of things laid out here. So the redundancy project, it continue to give an update. So we're now working with Bartle Wells. They've gotten updated financial information from Kennedy Jenks. Bartle Wells is our financial consultant. And so they're developing a financial plan update that I'll be bringing to the board at a future date. There does seem to be positive news coming from Bartle Wells on initial look with the funding of the project being likely with current rates. And so I'll just let that play out at a future meeting, and they'll be here to discuss that. We did review 90% construction plans, and we've returned comments for that. And so Kennedy Jenks is now working on final plans and specifications for the project. Those are anticipated to be done in March. On the programmatic initiatives, we have our auditors were in on January 28th and 29th, where they reviewed all the data at the facility, and they're in the process of preparing our final audit for the 17-18 fiscal year. And they anticipate coming to our board on March 20th as of right now, and we'll agendize that when we get a final date from them. Miscellaneous, so our regional board waste discharge requirement permit, our MPDS permit, was up for renewal, and it was heard at the regional water board hearing on Thursday, January 31st. Myself and Michael Jones, our chief plant operator, were present and provided some discussion. The item was pulled from consent, and there was a lengthy discussion about concerns over, there were some public comments that brought up issues over the sea level rise at the site. And so the board wanted to engage in that conversation, and they had a healthy dialogue about future projects and what they might look at for all plants up and down the coast, really. And then ultimately, they ended with passing our permit. The permit really only involves our water leaving the plant. That's what the permit is for, and that's what the permit was to do. And so coastal staff had a dialogue with their board as far as does withholding this permit really do anything, because there was a dialogue. They were concerned about sea level rise. There was a forum at the governor's office in late December, I was told by coastal staff, where they have encouraged the Regional Water Board to start thinking about impacts from climate change and to start working that. And so they're still struggling what that means for them as an organization and what the direct role they have in combating climate change or making sure things are being permitted that are compatible with climate change. All that being said, it was a lengthy discussion, interesting to play out, watch it play out in front of us. But we've got our permit. We've received it from the regional board. We're permitted for the next 5 years to continue running the plant and with our ocean outfall. Central Coast Blue, I've got an update here. So there's, and I wrote in my report, if you read, that we're tentatively to make a presentation to the board at the February 20th meeting. And the intent for that was that the project team, including WSC, the Water Systems Consulting that Pismo Beach has hired to lead the project design effort, would be coming to our board on February 20th. I received a phone call from WSC today, asking that be postponed. They had developed this whole calendar, and they're wanting to push that out. So this date is no longer accurate, and I do not have an update for that. I did have two plant tours in the reporting period, both OCSD director and also she's the assistant director, Cynthia Rapogel. Came for a plant tour, which showed her around, along with director from OCSD, director Aline Villa, and had a great time. We were able to show them all around the plant. There was some interest in the brine discharge. We got to talk about that, and so it was a good tour. Upcoming items, I'd like to come back with your board with some district goals and priorities and do some goal setting. I would also like to come back to your board with a tribute resolution for Barbara Nichols, for her district service. And I would also like to update you on the redundancy project and the financial outlook that I referred to earlier with bringing Bartle Wells in to give a financial update on that. And then also a future item on the engineering front, we have construction management services contract to let as we move into construction for the redundancy project. Now moving over to the plant operations reports, the numbers at the plant are fantastic. The staff really has it dialed in. We have not had any major upsets at the plant during the reporting period, no exceedances or violations. We've had, over the course of the wet weather, no issues at the plant. Everything ran and no emergency call-outs. We did not end up on backup power at any point, and so no disruptions in the plant during that period. And with that, that concludes my administrator's report.
Thank you for that report. Are there any questions of the administrator?
I have one.
Go ahead.
Just, you don't have to address it right now, but when it comes forward and we talk about Central Coast Blue, can you maybe address some of the concerns that were brought up by the public regarding other interests and jurisdictions and why we are part of that. So just not tonight, but as you bring that forward, so maybe we can address that formally.
Yes, absolutely. The roles and responsibilities of the different agencies are a major component of the governance effort that will come after the technical effort is largely complete. There's going to be some sort of governance or JPA, and that's unknown at this point. But yes, those roles will be defined through very, very lengthy discussions on who's doing what. And so that will be covered.
Thank you very much.
So it's good to see that everything ran so well, with no problems with the storms or anything. Yeah, great. Great report. Thank you.
So I'll turn this over to the public and see if any members of the public want to comment on this item.
Thank you, Board. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I did participate in the Water Board meeting that your district administrator referenced last Thursday. It wasn't an extended discussion, and I will say that while they passed your NPDES permit, there was a lot of angst about the whole situation, particularly the redundancy project. You're intending to put critical infrastructure in harm's way. There's no other way to put it. Groundwater is at less than 4 feet. So the idea that engineers are going to floodproof this site for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years is just not practical. Moreover, the idea that you're going to begin construction in the fall of this year, I think, is highly unlikely for a number of reasons. First of all, you haven't satisfied all of your coastal development permit conditions, particularly the life expectancy analysis. I'm not sure that's been even started. The big problem here is financing. You have a $30 million project. It's likely to go well above $30 million, up $35 million. You know, it's hard to know once the bids come in. You already know that the Clean Water SRF loan is at the state level is not available. It was suggested there were program issues, but frankly, I think, you know, they have smart people up there. They know when you're putting infrastructure in harm's way. You have the USDA. If they're at work, they might be able to process your application, but that's been problematic, as you know. And then there are many strings attached to USDA financing, if you've ever been involved with that. I think you're going to be relegated to junk bonds, frankly. Probably 6% interest is my guess. So I'd like you to really consider the alternatives. And you did commission, as part of your coastal permit, an alternative site analysis and evaluation that was prepared by Nunley and Associates back in September of 2016. And Nunley made a couple predictions or conclusions about relocating even outside of the coastal zone, and he said it would still take 10 years or 5 years or something like that. And I'd like to share with you, and some of you may know, but Cayucas, they have a collection system in the coastal zone, but they just located their treatment site out of the coastal zone. And it took them 3 years to permit, and they've already broken ground. So this can be done in a very short time. And I would urge your board to consider that. I haven't heard anything about life cycle costs for redundancy. That's the cost to operate it over its life. And I will just allude to the over $2 million that this district incurred by way of cost associated with the 2010 spill. So that all factors into life cycle costs, and I think it's critical to really know what this project is about to have those numbers. Thanks.
Any other comments?
Good evening again, Julie Dacker. And I, too, attended the Water Board meeting on Thursday. And I would invite you to watch. This was the first time they've filmed a Water Board meeting in about 10 years, but they've just gotten an account with AGP Video. And it's now on CalSPAN. So you can watch the item yourselves. The discussion went on for, I don't know, 2 hours. They were concerned. And they wished they had had some say in locating redundancy. When the draft permit came before this board, it really was in a report that it had been, the draft was out there, public comment was open, and I asked that the district administrator give a presentation on what's the same and what's different about the permit. And he felt that was technical and probably only I would be interested. But what I think was interesting about the changes in the permit is that it does mirror those requirements in the coastal development permit for the redundancy project, in that there will have to be some groundwater monitoring, some coastal hazards monitoring, because the site is compromised. It's already compromised. And the, again, the wisdom of citing these $30 million on that site is questionable. Mr. Gent's report does not mention the, I'm sorry I'm boring you, Ms. Austin, does not mention the hour and a half presentation he gave at the Oceano Community Services District in January. And it was there that I learned that the redundancy project will have 12-foot tall walls from the ground, but it will also go 8 feet down in the, into the ground. And that, and Jeremy and I have discussed this before, but there will be extensive dewatering of the site for many months, if not the entire time of the 30-month construction. Dewatering is wasting water. And I think that should be a concern to all of you, in that you talk about potential seawater intrusion. This groundwater is part of what protects, if there is seawater intrusion, it helps protect against seawater intrusion. So the idea that you would dewater and throw that water into the ocean and it's gone forever is simply wasteful.
Anyone else want to come forward and provide comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion. And this is just a receive and file, correct? Very good. Any comments?
Nope, I have nothing more.
Then we will consider it received and filed. So which then moves us on to the next item, which is a annual bylaws review and update. Administrator Gent.
Good evening. It is recommended that the Board of Directors discuss staff's proposed edits and direct staff with regards to whatever revision it deems appropriate. The edits before you are largely clerical, identified just inconsistencies in the document, typographical formatting errors. There is some language changes, so we Council and I are prepared to answer any questions you might have about the changes. Council and I do not believe there's any substantive changes in the bylaws that would affect any of your regular operations as board members. And so with that, I'll turn it back over to you.
Any questions to my left?
No, I read it.
Questions
all
to my
the
right?
Changes.
You know I have questions.
There you go.
I don't always. So, Gil, this is probably best directed to you. So I just have a couple questions, but let me get to my annotations. It's just one question. So section 2.12, there's a insertion of the word abstention or absent. So first we, just the teacher and me, it should be absence. But my question is, why doesn't 2.12 match the verbiage in 4.3C? And here's the upshot of what I'm asking. It is my understanding that we are not free to abstain from votes, that we're supposed to take those votes. That's what the public has charged us to do, and the only time we can abstain is when we have a conflict of interest. And so here it makes it look like you have a conflict of interest or an abstention, because there's a comma, or an absence. But in 4.3C, it's pretty clear. It says abstention due to a conflict of interest. It seems to me that those wordings should be the same in both sections.
Director.
I know it's Russum.
Russum.
I know I'm
keep
getting used
of you
to it
as Ray,
too.
So
I know.
Sorry.
I hear you, brother.
And I don't have my glasses on. No. So that's a correct observation. Abstention, there is the occasion where a director, for whatever reasons, usually or a council member, for example, would abstain from a certain vote for political reasons. There's not a requirement that forces you to vote. I think the expectation, of course, is that you all participate, and that if you do have a conflict of interest, that's by law, you're required to abstain. But that word was added to 2.12 just to cover the situation where someone chooses to abstain for whatever reasons, personal or otherwise, they may have. It's not a substantive change. If the board is disagrees with that, you could certainly remove it. It was just trying to add it to cover all bases that would potentially affect a vote.
I see.
And then 4.3C,
I think, is right on. I was just confused by the wording in 4.12. It's on page 9 at the top.
You're right. And that was because it was considered routine and a non-controversial nature for consent items. But they certainly could be worded to 4.3, right?
4.3C.
Oh, C.
It's at the very end of 4.3C, where it says abstention due to a conflict.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Interest. That's just what I was expecting to see in the other one.
Right, because in that section, when a director wishes to consider a pull an item, you know, you would not normally pull an item to abstain from it, but we certainly can make it. I think it's fine the way it is, but
okay.
It's a good point.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thank you. I had two very minor comments, and I'll go backwards. I'll start with 13.3, titled Incompatible Office, and I'm wondering in the first line of the or the first word of the second line, when the duties of two offices are repugnant or overlap. Is repugnant a word of art there, or should we use redundant?
Probably redundant. Probably good.
And there's a statute that governs incompatible offices. Repugnant, I don't recall being in that statute. I'd have to look at it. You know, we did not look at that section. I did not catch that section. Mm-hmm. But repugnant, I don't. Then basically, 13.3 is intended to mirror the statute on incompatible offices. We can take a look at that and make sure that each of the words is consistent with the statute.
Okay, if you could, that'd be great. So, just to make sure that we're don't
it's
have
kind of funny.
Yeah, exactly. And then my only other question had to do, and I've got to get back to the top. It was effectively the terms of office, and bear with me.
I had a question, and thank you for reminding me about that. It's section two, I think.
Actually, 1.4 and 1.5. So maybe you've got a different one where it says the 1.4 says the chair and vice chair shall be elected annually at the second meeting in January of each calendar year, and then the term of office shall commence on February 1st of the year immediately following their election. So what happens between January of the calendar year and the following February?
That was the old
it's a grammar issue. Yeah. I had the same one. I forgot to bring
gotcha.
That up.
Okay. Yeah. So it just I'm maybe just cleaning up the language.
So yeah. Since we just elected Chair Lee, he takes office on January 1st, 2020, according to the way we've ordered it there.
Right.
February 1st,
sorry.
2020, right.
And so I did cover that specific, and that actually came out of the cancellation. So we're supposed to select our chair at the second meeting in January. And I had proposed language that actually said upon the office shall commence upon selection of the chair and vice chair. When I covered that with counsel, thought best to make a more minor change and actually just push. So in 2017, when we did a bylaws update, we moved our chair and vice chair selection to the second meeting in January. Prior to that, it was the last meeting in December when we did our chair and vice chair selection. I'm just providing a little background here so you can see where this was a fragment that was left over from the last time we updated the bylaws. And in that last update, we had moved the chair and vice chair selection to the second week in January, purely to accommodate the member agencies, because they have not done committee selections prior to that date. And so this was an ongoing issue with the district that we could not make the chair and vice chair selection by the second meeting in December because those decisions hadn't been made at the member agencies. And so when we made that change in 2017, we said we're going to move it to the second meeting in January, but the language remained that said that the office will commence on January 1st following election. And so I brought up the error, proposed different language, and we decided to do the minimal effort and just move that date 1 month forward. So I put a lot of thought in it. I'm not suggesting I got it right, but I'm very aware of the issue that you're describing.
Okay. So perhaps after public comment, we'll have a discussion on how to remedy that language. Any member of the public want to address this item? Come forward, please.
Julie Tacker, and I'd like to ask you to look at 2.2 and the special meetings. This language is problematic in my mind, in that special meetings may be called by the chair or two directors with a minimum of 24 hours public notice. The 24 hours, of course, is the Brown Act, but the idea that two directors can communicate about setting a special meeting is also a Brown Act violation, and I think it needs to be addressed. And remind you that each one of you are equal. In a three-member board, you are operating differently than, a five-member board, in that you can consult another board member to set a special meeting. A three-member board, you have the exact same power as the chair if you're not the chair, in my mind. And if you need a special meeting to address your item in this short term, then by golly, you need to call it. And you call the administrator and you say, for whatever reason, I need this special meeting. And so I just would like you to address this language, because I do see that there is a potential for a Brown Act violation of, if any of you communicate about the item that you need to have heard. But you could also then implicate the administrator in a spoken hub communication if he's having to explain why somebody wants a special meeting. So, good luck with that.
Anyone else want to speak on this item? Great. We'll close it to the public and bring it back for discussion. So, perhaps legal counsel Trujillo, can you address the comment that came forward with regards to the special meeting language?
Certainly. And I also have some language to fix, I think, for 1.5.
Okay.
That I'd like to propose. So the I believe the intent of that section is that a single alternate or single director would not be able to call a meeting on their own. Only the chair would have that authority, or the district administrator. If the district administrator were contacted by two of the directors, then he's, I think, under that section would call a special meeting. If they were contacted to request a meeting, not that they were consulting with each other, because that would be a Brown Act violation, given that your board consists of three members. So I think that's the intent. If you were to change it, then the rule would be that any single director could call a special meeting at any time. And I don't think that was the intent of 2.2.
So with that, and maybe for just potential discussion, do we say called by the chair or two directors, parentheses, through the district administrator?
To clarify that the right. Two, like, for example, if I haven't heard this conversation, I'm a new director or an alternate, say, for example, and I'm thinking, oh, this says I have to talk to one of my other people to call this meeting, then it's almost like it's instructing us to do the wrong thing. But if it says something parenthetically
you know, via the district or via contacting the district administrator or two separate contracts or something, maybe you can come up with that right language. Right. Then maybe that would guarantee that whoever was reading this would read it properly.
All right. So we can certainly do that. I think if the intent is that you do not want a single director to call the meeting, we can work with that language to make sure that the intent of the existing section remains with that clarification.
Are we good? That works. Okay. Very good. So we'll let you work on that language. And then in the meantime.
And then 1.5 was able to look at it. And I'm going to take a shot at it here to see if we could come up with a fix that makes sense and is correct. So I think if we change 1.5 to read, the term of office for the chair and vice chair of the board shall commence on February 1st following their election as chair and vice chair.
Perfect.
Then I think it eliminates the inconsistency. And that's really what Jeremy and I discussed, trying to make it simple, follow logically without getting too convoluted. So if that's agreeable to the board, we would certainly make that change.
Can I make a request and put you on the spot?
Absolutely.
For 2.2, if we might take just a very quick break or let you think on your feet, if we can resolve that language here, we don't need to re-agendize it. And I'd love to get that dealt with tonight so that we can move on with the business of the sanitation district going forward.
Okay.
So if we, I don't know if you just need a moment or if you'd like to, you know, I guess I'd leave that to the chair to maybe discuss.
I guess the only thing I would say is the recommendation tonight is not to approve it. It's to direct staff with regard to whatever revisions it deems appropriate. So it's coming back to
All
us
right.
anyway.
There you go.
That would be my, unless there's direction that I'm missing.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, are there any other, and then we'll have you take a look at the redundant conversation. And was there any other items that we needed to have looked at?
It.
Okay, very good. So just before I lose my train of thought, on 1.4, so the practical effect of that is that tonight, if that language was correct and we were 2 weeks ago or whatnot, that Linda would have, or Director Austin would have remained the chair through the remainder of that meeting, and then the next chair would have come on at the start of the subsequent meeting.
Correct.
Okay. I'm good with that. Okay. Very good. So any other direction that we need to provide? Any other clarifications that staff would like to ask of us? If not, so we are done with that item. And apologize as my... machine gets back up to the agenda because I believe we are under miscellaneous items. Mr. Gent, any miscellaneous items you have for us?
There are no miscellaneous items. That was a lot of work to just say there are no miscellaneous items to report.
Very good. So then I'll move on to board member communications. Any communications?
No, sir.
No. Very good. Then we'll move into closed session. Actually, I was going to have him announce it first, and then we'll do public comment.
Thank you. This evening, the board will adjourn to confer with legal counsel regarding existing litigation entitled Wolf versus Detra, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, paragraph D1.
Very good. Thank you for that. Any public comments on closed session? Seeing no one come forward, is there a time estimate?
5 minutes or less.
Very good. Then we will adjourn to closed session, or recess to closed session.